From a basement in Ely, a team of ineffectual superheroes casts a watchful eye over the world of nerds. Whenever there's a movie trailer to be dissected, whenever there's a Joss Whedon project to be discussed, whenever there's a squeeze to be squeezed, there will be... The Dork Avengers!
Ho, 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 Merry Podcast, and welcome to the Dork Avengers Holiday Special, the podcast that puts the geek into Christmas.
There is no geek in Christmas.
There's two of them, and we're sitting right here. I'm Pete, Santa Claus Dylan Trenchard, and with me is Duncan, the Santa Claus Heaney.
Am I the Santa Claus 1, 2, or 3?
Santa Claus 3, the escape clause.
I wish I had an escape clause.
So, Dunk, what have we got coming up on this festive barrel of fun?
Well, on this festive barrel of festive frolicking... No, see, I don't want to say festive. Stop making me be all Christmassy. I'm a humbug.
But it's Christmas!
It's not Christmas, it's the 10th of December.
Oh, yeah.
On this festive Christmas podcast, we will be...
I put a tree up for you and everything.
We've got lots of festive barrels.
Right, Dunk, we've got a film review of Arthur Christmas.
Right.
We've got to look at some Christmas forums. We're going to do some Christmas traditions. And then we're doing the Dork Avengers Secret Santa.
Yeah, there are just two of us though, Pete. So it's not that secret.
I haven't told anyone.
So Pete, shall we get this show on the road?
Let's do it. On Moffat, on Shatner, on Whedon and Gaiman.
On Bendis, on Lucas, on Nimoy and Abrams.
Whoa! Welcome to the podcast!
Pete, are we cool?
We're positively frosty.
Dork Avengers, assemble!
So, Dunk, what have you been up to this week?
Who cares? I want presents. Let's do Secret Santa.
But, Dunk, you don't do presents until a bit later on in the morning, like when the rest of the family have turned up.
Do you know what the best thing about this podcast is, Pete?
What?
Do you know what the only good thing about this podcast is?
What's that, Dunk?
No family. We can just jump straight into the presents. Fun bit of Christmas, opening things and getting stuff.
Okay, fine, let's do Secret Santa then.
Of course, being Secret Santa with just two of us, it's fairly obvious who gave each what.
Oh.
Oh?
I got me in the Secret Santa. I just didn't say anything, because I bought myself a Megazord, look.
You go, basically, for Secret Santa, you got yourself a gift.
But it's not just a gift, it's a Megazord. It turns into five different robots. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Which is completely opposite of what you are. Fine. So if you got yourself a Megazord, what's that big pile of parcels over there?
Well, luckily, I also got you a present because I didn't want you to feel left out of the whole Secret Santa thing.
Oh, well, thank you.
But that's not part of Secret Santa. The Megazord is my Secret Santa present.
Fine. I got myself this brown envelope.
Fine. Let's have a look at the brown envelope, shall we?
Which is your Secret Santa, but since you're keeping yours, I'm going to... Actually, no, I know what it is. I don't want to keep it.
Okay. Now I'm worried.
So I didn't... Could
you not invest in wrapping paper, Dunk?
No, because I did think about wrapping paper. Then I thought, why not wrap it in an envelope that has bubble wrap in the inside? Because then you get it wrapped, it's easy to open, which is crucial for Christmas, and you get some bonus bubble wrap, which is fun. I went to a lot of expense and effort to get... Well, I went to a lot of effort. I went to Morrison's for this present.
Right.
Okay, and it's both something I think you'll like and a thinly veiled insult.
Oh, f**k. Oh, God. Thank you, Dunk.
You better actually say what it is.
listeners, Duncan has very kindly bought me the video game Doctor Who Return to Earth for the Nintendo Wii.
I will be honest, Pete. because it was unsealed when I bought it,
yep.
I did put it in my Wii to have a go. I can honestly say that I have been playing games all my life. That actually may be the worst game I have ever played. I knew it was bad, but seriously... It looks worse than a PlayStation 1 game, and the frame rate is in single digits at times. So it's like watching a slideshow, I'm not joking.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure that Matt Smith and Karen Gillan cannot be happy with the way they look in this.
And the thing about these is that they're the one officially licensed Doctor Who product that Nicholas Briggs refuses to do any voices for. I mean, when somebody else is voicing the Daleks and Cybermen because Nicholas Briggs said no, you've got a real problem on your hands.
I thought it would be something that you would appreciate, but also that you would come to resent and realise that it's...
Very definitely.
It's a kiss on the cheek and a slap on the other one.
Thank you, Dunk.
You won't be saying that after you've played it.
I love you, you are a bastard. Okay, well, I don't know if I can top this. So let's start with the bigger of the two presents, because I think you might actually half like the littler one.
So I'm going to hate this.
I think you're going to like some of it. I've actually gone to the delight of wrapping it for you.
I wrapped yours.
You stuffed it in an envelope.
It's a box. It's a box of some kind. It's a shoe box. No.
It's not just a box.
It's a Batman-related box.
It's a sort of Batmobile.
Is that what it is? It's a Batmobile full of other presents.
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome. Because you see it. It's like a box that looks like a Batmobile. You think, that is pretty cool. I'm assuming it's Adam West Batmobile.
Of course.
Yeah.
I would never buy you a Chris Nolan Batmobile.
Good, good. Inside you think, oh, maybe it's Batman or, you know, you're failing that Robin. But it's more presents.
More presents, yep.
Wow. Wow, bloody hell, Pete. How many, how much did you spend? We agreed a £10 limit.
We agreed a £10 limit and I stuck within the £10 limit.
So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8 more presents.
Yep.
All of which come to £10 in total.
No, it's actually £9, I did buy you 9 presents plus the box, but one of the presents was chocolate and I ate it.
I'm disgusted, but also not surprised. Yeah. So, I'm opening this one. This one, which is... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Back to the Sewer.
It's a 100-piece jigsaw puzzle. I did think about getting you the 40-piece one, but I thought, no, you're 28 now. You're old enough to handle 100 pieces in your jigsaw.
I don't know, it's going to be hard because the turtles are all the same colour.
Racist.
Look at Michelangelo. If any of them was going to be gay, I reckon it would be him.
Callback.
Callback to previous forums watch. Thanks, Pete. Yeah, it's a DVD.
You know how you like Michael Barrymore?
We have met him.
This was back when you were doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, back before you copied me. Wow, thanks. We should play this later.
Yeah, it's the Strike It Lucky interactive DVD game.
You know what's ironic about this name?
What?
He really didn't. Okay, now next one. Fantastic Four, the official novelisation of the film. Wait.
I know you like Fantastic Four.
I do like Fantastic Four.
I know you once read.
I have read a book once, yes. Yeah. There was no plot to that film.
Well, Peter David disagrees with you.
This feels like a CD in this parcel.
I was trying to get to the budget with what I had, and... You know how you like the ITV comedy drama Cold Feet?
No. I don't know how I like the ITV comedy drama Cold Feet.
And you better not open that one then. Don't.
Makes it all the more surprising that you've given me Cold Feet, the official soundtrack to the series, featuring such great hits from Manic Street Preacher, Stereophonics. I never even heard of half of them. Listen to this trio of hits. S Club 7, Don't Stop Moving, Hearsay, Pure and Simple, Ronan Keating, The Way You Make Me Feel. I should feel offended, but you've given me some wonderful other shit. Yeah. So,
can you have wonderful shit?
Yeah, sure, if you've eaten enough fibre.
See, the worst thing about this CD is that it doesn't even have Theme from Cold Feet on there.
Does it not?
No. It's music inspired by the TV series Cold Feet.
Well, thanks, Pete. Of all the CDs you've ever given me, this is one. Still, it's the thought that counts.
No, sometimes it is the actual presents that count.
I feel less bad about getting you Doctor Who and Making Earth now. Or Return to Earth, whatever it's called.
Okay, you know how we're always saying, when I grow up...
Yeah. What is it, some pubes? It's a calendar. It's the official When I Grow Up calendar. Which, for some reason, has a child in some waders on the front.
I think it's just his trousers falling down.
So it's got a small 4-year-old child with his trousers falling down on the cover.
Looking like he's about to cry.
Well, wouldn't you if your trousers fell down and you're on the front of a calendar?
Indeed. I wouldn't be the only one either.
So basically, what this calendar is a bunch of very, very young children dressed up as if they were doing adult professions.
Yeah, I thought you'd like it.
Yeah, so you've got a small child dressed up as a footballer. They're clearly too young to be able to walk. So he's just kind of lying next to the ball. This is one of the most sinister gifts I've ever received.
If I go round your house and you haven't got that on your wall, I'm going to be very depressed.
If the police ever come round, I'm going to be arrested if I have this on my wall. We've got a footballer, we've got a fisherman kid by the looks of it, we've got a baker kid, and then we have a boy with a paper plane. What profession is paper plane enthusiast?
McDonald's employee.
Save time, this is what Pete has also got me. The Last Airbender Annual 2011, based off the appalling M. Night Shyamalan Baila Baila film. And 3 episodes of Avengers United They Stand on DVD.
Episodes 4 to 6.
Yes, because, yeah, heaven forbid you gave me the start of the series. Well, thanks, Pete. That is a pile of presents like I've never received before. I will treasure these for as long as it takes me to reach a bin. I mean, I will treasure these.
There is one more, and I think you might actually quite like this one.
Am I going to enjoy it more than the slightly paedophiliac calendar that I received?
I don't know. I don't know how much you're going to enjoy that calendar.
It's Batman Tabletop Basketball.
Yeah. You put it on your desk and you can kind of flick the little ball into the hoop.
Oh, that's quite funny. It's the Batman versus Joker.
Yeah, because I think that is how they should settle their differences from now on.
If only all differences could be settled with basketball.
I don't think we would fare very well if you could settle all differences by basketball. I think we would come out on bottom quite a lot of times.
We do anyway. Thanks, Pete. This is actually genuinely quite a good present.
I thought so. Of all the things I found in Poundland, that was the best one.
Well, I think I came off considerably better than you did in that gift-giving exercise.
Yeah, I feel slightly solid.
Oh, you were pleased when you saw it.
A little
bit.
Then
you processed what it was, and then you're upset.
That's exactly what happened.
You went through the 5 stages of grief.
Yeah.
You'll hear acceptance soon. So, Pete, I did get you something else. I know how much time you're always spending sourcing jingles and sound effects for this podcast. So I thought I could save you the time. So I got you this 16 high fidelity sound effects machine.
Oh, wow. So I can play the sounds in live.
Yeah.
Go on, tell a joke.
Peter Dylan Trenchard.
That's amazing.
16 high fidelity sound effects. It's very clear that they are high fidelity.
What's this one?
That sums up my short-lived comedy career.
That sums up your short-lived comedy career. Well, thank you, Doug. That will save me literally minutes in the edit.
Okay, let's move on with the podcast, shall we?
It's a season of love and joy and caring.
And presents.
Presents are nice, Orko, but Christmas means much more than that.
I know, Adam. Christmas is a time of peace and caring and happiness.
That's right, Orko. And what would make you happiest this Christmas?
Presents.
Oh, Orko.
For our Christmas special, we saw a very Christmassy film indeed.
Yeah, so Christmassy, it even had Christmas in the title.
Arthur Christmas.
Which I think was probably named first for the pun and then had a story built around it.
Yeah, because like, half a Christmas.
No, it's Father Christmas, not half a Christmas.
Doesn't make sense. Christmas is a concept, it's a day. A day doesn't have a dad.
I'm talking about Santa Claus, which was the...
It's not called Santa Claus, is it? It's called Arthur Christmas. Half a Christmas. Idiot. Right, what happened in the film?
It's about Santa Clauses, also known as Father Christmas, unless you're a bloody idiot. It's about Santa Claus's incompetent younger son who has to save Christmas. I don't want to get too much into the specifics of the plot because, yeah, that's part of the fun.
And to be honest, that pretty much sets the whole film up, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite a predictable film, but it was a damn fun film.
Yes, it was. I was a little bit dubious about it before I went in because it's another, you know, CGI 3D movie. Although we didn't see it in 3D.
No, although there were moments which were clearly meant to be in 3D.
Yeah.
Like when you're going on the sleigh ride and this thing's rushing towards you. For a minute you think, maybe that would have looked cooler in 3D, and then you remember it definitely wouldn't. It just would have looked darker.
Also, CGI movies now, you know, the Tenapenny, they all kind of have a very similar look. The thing that convinced me to see this was the fact it was by Aardman.
Aardman is kind of the British Pixar in terms of reliability in this field. I don't think I've ever seen an Aardman project that I've not enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember going to see their first CGI feature with you, Flushed Away.
Oh, I remember Flushed Away.
Yeah, your comment coming out was, that Kate Winslet rat was a bit sexy, wasn't she?
Yeah, I've changed my mind on that one, actually, ever since having a mouse in our real house. I just want to kill Kate Winslet.
Okay, Pete, you might want to think again before you declare your intention to kill Kate Winslet on a podcast listened to by upwards of 7 people.
Fine, I would like to make love to Kate Winslet.
As a rat.
Anyway, back to Tower Heist.
No, back to back to Arthur Christmas. All-star cast.
Oh, fantastic cast. I mean, we were the only ones in the film. So when it started, I quite happily looked up the film on IMDb on my phone. And there wasn't a single name on the main cast list that I didn't recognise. You know, the main role is played by James McAvoy.
He of Professor X fame.
Yep. And to a lesser extent, the Mr. Tumnus in Narnia.
But also the rest of the cast. I mean, let's do it. You had Jim Broadbent.
Yep.
As seen in Indiana Jones 4. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Imelda Staunton, as seen in Harry Potter, I believe.
Yes, Harry Potter.
Whichever, 5. The one with Dolores Umbridge. Yep. Hugh Laurie, as seen in a little bit of Fry and Laurie, and so much show in America about a crippled doctor.
I don't think any of our listeners will have seen that. There was Ashley Jensen.
A scene in anything that requires a Scottish woman under the age of 50. If you want a Scottish woman over 50, Maggie Smith. If you want a Scottish woman under 50...
I do want a Scottish woman under 50.
There you go. Ashley Jensen. Or Bill Nighy, of course.
He's not a Scottish woman under 50.
No, I mean, he was also in the film.
Because I don't want Bill Nighy.
No one wants Bill Nighy.
Aww.
I thought there wasn't a weak link in the cast.
No.
All the voice acting was done very well. Hugh Laurie in particular, I thought, was the standout.
Yep. But you know what, Dunk? I felt that the real star of the film was the writing.
Yes, it was. It written by Peter Bainham.
Yeah, and Peter Bainham is someone who I have a bit of an up-down relationship with.
Well, what else has he done, just in case people haven't gone as deep into the writing credits as me and you have?
Well, I think he was involved with Alan Partridge, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of the writers of that.
Yeah, life. But then he was also involved in Borat.
Well, Borat was funny.
See, I think I have a bit of a negative opinion of Borat because it was just me and two old people at the top of the cinema who really weren't enjoying it.
I thought it was a funny film. I think it's a social film. It's funny when you have a crowd of people.
Quite possibly, but I never have a crowd of people. But yeah, no, it was a very funny script. More than I expected, actually. As much as I wanted to see this, I was pleasantly surprised by just how funny it was.
The film opens with the question, how does he do this? So how does Father Christmas deliver all these presents in one night? And how he does it, it's kind of a military operation run by the elves, and kind of a spoof of as many action movies as you can fit in about 7 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
As they break into houses, you know, dangle Mission Impossible style off ropes, you know, to drop the presents into stockings and that kind of stuff, which was done quite brilliantly, I thought.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of bullet time in there as well, because you can't have an action spoof without bullet time.
No.
Even 10 years later.
In fact, if you're Michael Bay, you can't have an action scene with anything other than bullet time.
But luckily, this film was miles away from Michael Bay's hands.
Yeah, it was set in Cornwall, apart from anything.
And the North Pole.
And the North Pole.
I think that was in it for a bit of it.
Actually, it was a globe-trotting adventure across the entire world.
It was, surprisingly, yeah. It's hard to know what to say about this, because I just thought it was a really charming, Christmassy film.
Yeah, I mean, the jokes are funny. The message is heartwarming. The performances are good. The product placement is weird. It's a Sony production, so of course there were a couple of mentions of PlayStations in there.
Yeah, which is to be expected.
Which is to be expected. I mean, a little bit blatant, but to be expected. But then, for some reason, Co-op Supermarket made a obscure appearance.
Well, I mean, which was great, and that added to the realism.
Well, yeah, because that bit being set in Cornwall, which is where I used to live when I went to university in Cornwall. Well, call it university. And Co-op is one of the main supermarkets down there, so... So it was an obscure piece of product placement that made us both go, huh?
It was quite incongruous, but let's face it, it could never ruin the film, because I'm a sucker for a Christmas film. You know, if I see any rendition of A Christmas Carol, I will cry at the end.
Once in Royal David City stood a lonely cattle shed...
Right, Dunk, just because when I sang last week it's proved immensely popular.
No, immensely popular means two people.
For this podcast, that is immensely popular.
That's about 80% of the audience. Yeah.
Just because that proved immensely popular doesn't mean we should start introducing more songs. You know that's not the kind of Christmas carol I mean. The Christmas Carol, the popular tale of Scrooge.
Oh, that Christmas Carol.
McDuck.
Did they ever do a DuckTales version of Christmas Carol?
They must have. I don't know if they actually did.
That seems like a huge missed opportunity if they didn't.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Yes. Move on.
The Radio Times recently published that, you know, they do these spurious polls where they ask their quote-unquote readers what they think their favourite Christmas movie. In the top 10, I was very surprised to find that I think number 2 was Muppet Christmas Carol.
Why are you surprised by that? It's the best Christmas film ever.
Well, I didn't think the Muppets were that popular in this country.
Muppet's Christmas Carol is beloved.
I am Ebenezer Scrooge. It's my Michael Caine impression.
You're only supposed to go and get the bloody turkey.
Yeah, should we just rate this movie?
Yep, 5 stars. It's a no-brainer for me, actually. A funny, charming film that just embodies Christmas. Brilliant.
Well, it didn't embody Christmas for me, because Christmas for me is a load of people getting drunk and having a big argument. I am considerably less susceptible to Christmas spirit than Peter is.
Basically, you're a miserable bastard.
No, it's not that. It's just that I get fed up with the endless sentimental same messages coming, you know, over and over again. However, I would also give Other Christmas 5 stars, because it is probably the best Christmas film I've seen in, well, many years. So yeah, 5 stars, wholeheartedly recommended. See it in 2D if you can.
Because then the snow will look white and not grey.
But whatever the odds, this time of year, humans should never complain. Whether caught in the crush of a Christmas rush, or the snow, or the sleet, or the rain, whole galaxies in distant worlds would change places with any of you. Because you have a day when love came to stay, though it nearly didn't come true.
And now it's time for Christmas Forum Watch. We've been looking at some Christmassy forums.
Specifically, Father Christmas based. Sorry, Santa Claus.
Yes, thank you. I don't get what you mean when you say Father Christmas. That's the running joke we're doing. I found one here, SantaClaus.com. I guess it's the official website of Santa. And it's great because Santa Claus actually posts on it.
Oh yeah, he only works one day a year. He's got plenty of free time.
That's true. What do you think he does the rest of the year? I mean, obviously, kind of, I guess from sort of October to December, he's making presents.
Or buying them.
Yeah.
I think basically Santa has like a massive Argos catalogue. So maybe he's waiting for the presents to actually turn up at the counter for the rest of the time.
Back in November, he was posting, "Are you ready for Christmas?" Well, no. It's November the 29th.
I'm not ready for Christmas now. I haven't bought any presents or anything.
But Dunk, it's Christmas Day. That's the other joke we're doing.
Sorry. Yes, I have bought everybody's present and did not leave it last minute.
On November 29th, Santa posted, "The turkey is eaten, the lights and tree are up, and some Christmas shopping is already done." If he's already eaten the turkey, does that mean Santa had Christmas Day before the rest of us?
Well, presumably, because he doesn't get it on the actual day, does he?
Does he have, like, a DVD screener of, like, the Queen's speech and stuff then?
Well, he might have got the King's speech for Christmas. I don't know why I think Santa Claus would enjoy that film.
Well, when he's saying ho, 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 maybe he's just stuttering.
Maybe that's the sequel. Santa's speech.
Maybe what he actually means to say is, "Ho, ridiculous your life is."
No, that's your father.
Oh yeah. Hi Dad. Game Show Guy 2000 asks, what constitutes a Christmas song?
A song where the theme is Christmas.
Yeah, I think usually to have a Christmas song you have to have sleigh bells in there somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, if you've got a TV theme tune, make it a Christmas TV theme tune, just put some sleigh bells over it.
No, that doesn't work with everything though. Well, what about something like Battlestar Galactica?
Ching 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 ching.
Stop being racist. I guess the sleigh bells theory has been scientifically proven there.
I don't know, maybe it wouldn't work so well on the new Battlestar Galactica though. Tell you what, let's try recreating the new Battlestar theme with the jingling bells. You can be the sleigh bells.
I'll do the theme.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not having another f***ing Legend of Zelda reference in this podcast.
We haven't had enough yet. We're under quota. I actually just realised, as I said I would do it, I have no idea what the theme tune for Battlestar Galactica is. Okay, so I'll do the jingly bells, and you can do the opening to the reinvented Battlestar Galactica. Okay, no, stop it. You just sound like a Wookiee who's just been stabbed.
I think either way, we've proved that it doesn't necessarily work on all songs.
No, okay.
The Santa Forum seem very obsessed with the whole notion of whether or not Santa Claus exists.
Well, he does exist. He's there posting on his forum.
True, and if he wasn't, then they'd all be massively wasting their time. Remus has just come straight out and asked the big question, does anyone believe in Santa? Because he says, I do, and I ain't ashamed to say so. XD. Woo! He might not be ashamed to believe in Santa, but he should be ashamed about the language he uses on the internet. Christmas Penguin says, duh, I love Santa. But he spelled it S-A-N-N-T-A.
Well, he doesn't love him enough to know how to spell his name properly.
No. And then Remus says, lol, I don't love him, but I'm jealous. I want to fly. What? Is he jealous of Santa?
Well, yeah, Santa gets to fly in his reindeer.
So can't Remus just DM iSanta on the forum and just ask for a borrow of his sleigh for a night?
Well, no, because if you send a private message to someone who, let's be honest, is probably pretending to be Santa on a forum saying, can I have a ride in your sleigh? Just asking to get yourself in trouble.
Christmas Penguin says, I don't love him like that, but, I mean, like, Santa is cool. I mean, how many movies does he star in? That guy is rich. I've got to break it to you, Christmas Penguin. I don't think that most of those films had the real Santa in. And apart from Tim Allen's The Santa Claus, he's in at the very beginning of that one, and then he falls off the roof and Tim Allen takes over.
What about the Dudley Moore one, where Father Christmas the movie?
No, that's just an actor.
No? Really? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
He's only got two acting credits to his name, the Tim Allen film The Santa Claus, and Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Which actually, the reason he jumped off the roof in Tim Allen's The Santa Claus is because of the continued negative reaction to his one acting role.
You seem to have thought this through quite extensively, Pete.
Yep. I've done a lot of research into the canon of Santa Claus.
I didn't know Santa Claus had a canon. It does explain how he gets his presents to all those houses.
There's one person here, Ben Adam, that he says that he watched a video on the History Channel which proved that parents shouldn't lie to children about Santa Claus because later they will not believe us when we teach them about Jesus.
Do you know what I'm really surprised about here? Is he watched something on the History Channel and it wasn't about Hitler.
Actually, I'm surprised that someone's posting something on the internet and it's not about Hitler.
There's a rule for that, isn't there?
Godwin's law, yeah.
Yeah, that every discussion on the internet will eventually turn to Hitler.
Yeah, some more often than most.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently the Santa Claus lie does psychological damage to a child. Unlike Jesus, which has never done any psychological damage to anybody.
Oh, heavens no. Do you think it's done psychological damage to you? I mean, how old were you when you stopped believing in Santa?
I don't really know. I mean, I know that I did believe in him at one point, because I remember distinctly seeing the reindeer parked outside in my back garden.
Was this a dream, or did this actually happen?
No, this happened last year.
Okay, so you still believe in Santa?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
No reason?
I mean, he did those two films.
I can't break your heart.
I mean, I'm not the only one who's seen Santa. Remus Claus says, "Have I ever seen Santa on Christmas Eve?" Well, the answer to that is a yes. I love it when people ask the question, knowing that they have something to say for the answer. And Santa was under the Christmas tree with a present in his hand and his pants around his ankles.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is sounding a lot like that time Uncle Phil came into the middle of the night.
Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
No, my Uncle Phil.
Oh. He voiced Shreddy, you know.
I know he did.
Yeah. Had lots of scenes with Krang. That one's for you, Anna. Nostalgiascape says, "Just came over from Halloween.com. It's now time to enjoy the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, so I decided to drop by." Right, f*** off, Nostalgiascape. You can't just go leaping around the different holiday forums going, "Oh, I really love Halloween. Oh, but that's over now. F*** that. Christmas, woo, hello." No, no. Pick a holiday, stick to it. You can't be a fan of all the holidays.
Well, isn't that the overall message of Nightmare Before Christmas, the Tim Burton movie?
Yeah, Nostalgiascape needs to go home, watch Nightmare... What am I talking about? Nostalgiascape never leaves the house. Needs to go downstairs, or upstairs if he's living in the basement, watch Nightmare Before Christmas,
realize... Or Knight Rider. It's always worth watching Knight Rider.
Only if it's Team Knight Rider.
No, never if it's Team Knight Rider. Team Knight Rider is awful.
Team Knight Rider is an excellent middle ground between Knight Rider and Power Rangers. Ow! It is, though.
It's what?
A middle ground between Knight Rider and Power Rangers. Ow!
See, I'm going to keep making you say Power Rangers until you... No, you're not allowed to hit me because I don't talk about it all the time.
You said Power Rangers. Ow! Speaking of people not leaving the house, Father Christmas is posting again. He says, "Is it snowing yet? Look outside, you lazy sh**. Just look outside, and if you are Father Christmas, the answer to is it snowing yet is definitely yes.
Or get one of your elves to do it.
What's the point in having child slave labour if you're not going to use them?
They're not children, they're dwarves.
Oh, that's better, yeah.
And as Life's Too Short has proven, dwarves are inherently hilarious. And by that, I mean Life's Too Short is a weak show.
Life's Too Short is just Ricky Gervais going, "What if The Office had a dwarf in the lead role instead of me?"
Okay, so I'm looking through this forum now. Father Christmas actually has another announcement to make.
Oh, yeah?
Bobby Claus is now Father Christmas. So Santa presumably is dead.
What? No! And
Bobby Claus taken
no.
over.
No! He can't kill Santa. I mean, Tim Allen did kill Santa in that film, but that was just a film.
He's as awkwardly hard as you were when you went to see Flushed Away.
No, Santa can't be dead.
Santa is dead, Pete. I'm sorry. But don't worry, Bobby Claus has taken over.
I don't like Bobby Claus.
What's wrong with Bobby Claus? He's perfectly nice.
Reminds me of Bobby Ball, and I'm scared of Bobby Ball.
Johnny Ball's the only ball that I really cared about.
Also your left one.
Rest in peace, Lefty. Well, I'm sorry, Peep, you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. Do you want to go through the five stages of grief very quickly, and we can get this over with? So the five stages. I think the first stage is denial.
Well, he's not dead. And how dare he fake his death like that? What kind of shit would do that? To all the kids of the world.
That would be stage two, anger.
I don't know, I tell you what, I'll give all my Christmas presents if he'll just come back.
Bargaining?
What's the point?
I've often wondered that. Oh, sorry, that's depression.
It certainly is.
Hey, you've accepted it. 5 stages of grief in about 20 seconds. Well done, Pete.
Hey.
You've revolutionised psychiatry.
Santa's dead, long live Bobby Claus. So and finally, what do you do the night before Christmas?
Oh God, I don't think I want to say publicly on a podcast.
See, I always ask for a Christmas Eve present.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you get one?
Yeah.
God, you're eventually spoiled.
I mean, I don't get it first time I ask, but then I just like keep asking. From the moment my mum comes in the door, like at work, from work, until the time she goes to bed, I'm just like, can I have a Christmas Eve present now? Can I have a Christmas Eve present? And if she doesn't give me one, I just go into the wardrobe and take one out and rip it open, even if it's not mine.
I like how you get into the Christmas spirit of things, Pete.
No, I just like presents.
Yes.
F*** Jesus and Santa. Presents.
Well, that's one way to spend the day before Christmas.
Well, they're going to be too tired afterwards.
So, what do I do before Christmas, the day before Christmas? Usually have a big fight with my family about something.
Physical?
No, although my sister has beaten me up a few times.
Which one?
I'm not telling you, she listens to the podcast.
Oh, right, Claire then. Kick him in the nuts, Claire, he really likes that.
Board game, play a board game every now and then.
Likes it a bit too much, actually.
Oh, I'm going to be honest with you, what I do is the same thing I do every day. I sit in front of the Xbox and play computer games.
Happy Christmas, Dunk.
Ladies and gentlemen of the world, you will do as I say. For I command you to... Have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a Merry, Merry Christmas. Joy to the world. Yes.
This is usually the part of the show where we talk about new experiences, but Christmas isn't a time for new experiences, is it, Pete?
No, it's the time for doing the same old that you do every year.
Exactly. And what kind of traditions do you have in your household, Pete?
Well, I have the tradition of Christmas afternoon going on Amazon and eBay to try and find the things that I put on my Christmas list that I didn't get.
You do it on the day?
Yeah. I usually do it on the family PC of my mum watching, just crying a little bit inside.
Any other heartwarming traditions you follow?
I eat a lot of meat.
Well, yeah, but that's not so much a tradition as a daily activity.
One of my other Christmas traditions has always been the Christmas Radio Times.
I remember being at school and you would rush off yes. during the break. On the day the Radio Times came out, the Christmas Radio Times, you would rush off to the town to buy your copy of the Christmas Radio Times.
Yeah.
And then sit there in the common room for the rest of the day, skipping lessons, so you could pick which terrible Christmas movies you're going to watch that year.
Yep. There are many things I like to do with the Radio Times Christmas special. The first thing I like to do is open it up to the middle, get the holiday section,
yeah,
rip it out, tear it up, set it on fire. I don't understand why it's there. It's the Christmas Radio Times. It's the Bible for people who are sitting in just watching as much telly as they can possibly get. They're not going on holiday. Let's have a proper look at the Christmas schedules from... Let's have a look at Christmas Eve onwards.
Although this is yesterday. Let's look at yesterday's TV.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at yesterday's TV. Ooh, do you remember when the outnumbered Christmas special was on?
You know what, Pete? We're not fooling anyone.
On Channel 5 at 7 a.m. I know you'll be watching.
Oh, let me guess, CSI. Because nothing is on Channel 5. Only CSI is on Channel 5.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Dunk. Thomas the Tank Engine, Day of the Diesels.
Is that like a zombie apocalypse version of Thomas the Tank Engine?
No, it's just Thomas makes friends with some new engines and Percy feels left out.
My idea was better.
I think what would be better is Thomas the Tank Engine Day of the Vin Diesels.
That would be amazing. Just imagine Thomas the Tank Engine with Vin Diesel's voice. I'm not going to attempt an impression.
Yeah, so listeners, we're not going to provide the comedy for you in this next 30 seconds. Just sit and imagine what Thomas the Tank Engine would sound like with Vin Diesel's voice, please.
Good stuff.
And there's Text Santa on ITV1.
Is that like one of those sexy Santa chat lines?
I think so, with Holly Willoughby, Anton Deck.
Oh, so not one of those sexy Santa chat lines then. The Morecambe and Wise Christmas special, of course.
I hate Morecambe and Wise.
Oh, they're fine.
It's like the 70s comedy version of Children in Need. Oh, here's Angela Lippin doing a sketch. And I don't know why they sound like that, they just do.
So we get to the digital channels, just let's have a quick look. You know what really gets me about all this Save BBC4 business?
Yeah.
I'm looking at BBC4 schedule on Christmas Eve and I'm thinking, why?
Because if you really like shows about pharaohs, then...
It does seem to be a Egyptian pharaoh special.
Also, Tom Bacon narrates a history of cinematic epics, so you might want to watch that.
I imagine the commentary would probably be worth it. He puts his all in. You can give him that, his old baker.
He puts his what in?
His all.
Oh.
Okay, Christmas Day. So the important thing is obviously on Christmas evening. Yep. Downton Abbey, ITV, 9 o'clock.
Right, you're not watching Downton Abbey, are you?
No, I didn't say I was going to watch it, but it's a smash hit that's hugely popular with British audiences, apparently, even though I've never seen the show.
It's interesting, actually, because it's going right up against EastEnders, which seems to be almost suicide on the part of ITV.
No, I think Downton Abbey, if any show has a chance, because that is kind of a phenomenon. Phenomenon. That's done now.
Oh.
So, have you ever seen Downton Abbey, Pete?
I haven't. What's it about?
I haven't seen it. I don't have a TV.
I imagine it's... Well, Abbey is a bank, and Downton, it's like... the slums downtown.
Right.
So it's a downtown bank. It's like the story of a load of bank workers at Abbey National.
Oh, so it's kind of one of these topical financial crisis shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm surprised that's such a hit, but you know.
Well, yeah.
I guess in these uncertain economic times, people like learning about banks.
And people like its host, Nick Knowles. So
I like its host, Nick Knowles.
I fucking hate Nick Knowles.
Why? How can you hate Nick Knowles? He's like, he's just this middle-aged man with a hammer. He's basically the Thor of TV presenters.
Fred West was a middle-aged man with a hammer. You don't love him.
He was the Thor of serial killers. No one likes a serial killer. Nick Knowles is the Thor of TV presenters.
So, back to Tower Heist. EastEnders is typically cheery this year. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a big fire and Pat Butcher dies. And the big film of the day is actually one worth watching on BBC One. Monsters vs. Aliens.
That sounds like an internet meme.
It does, but it's not. It's actually quite a good film starring Seth Rogen as a little blob.
So Seth Rogen.
Yep. And yeah, this girl gets transformed into a 50-foot woman and she joins like a group of misfits to try and save the world. It's a lot funnier than I'm making it sound.
Yeah, because currently you're making it sound like one of your normal pieces of fan fiction.
Yeah, but it's not. It's actually a genuinely good film with a great cast.
Awesome. And then, of course, 7 o'clock, BBC One... the show that you'll be watching and I will inevitably be watching.
Doctor Who.
Christmas special.
Enough about that.
Yeah. Something to do with Narnia, who cares?
Yeah.
We're going to watch it. It's going to be fine.
Oh, and there's some Strictly b***.
Now see, when you go home, you have a sister and a mother.
Oh yes, I do have
and
a sister.
When I go home, I have sisters and a mother.
Yep.
Do they push you off the TV at 8 o'clock to walk Strictly after the dock?
Like to see them try.
So you just basically plonk yourself down in front of the TV. If anyone tries to disturb you, you go, my TV, go away.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're a horrible son and a horrible brother.
Speaking of horrible, Robert Webb presents a documentary on BBC Two at 9 o'clock, The Toys That Made Christmas.
Are they like Buzz Lightyears and Furbies and stuff like that?
Dunno, I won't be watching. and then we get to Boxing Day. Mrs. Brown's Boys. Have you ever seen Mrs. Brown's Boys?
I haven't seen Mrs. Brown's Boys. I have no idea what that even is.
It's a sitcom starring a guy called Brendan O'Carroll as an old woman called Mrs. Brown.
Right, so it's a man playing a woman?
Yep.
Okay.
Which, already hilarious.
It is a staple of classic comedy.
Yep, just ask Lucas and Williams. But yeah, it's just an old Irish woman who's got a family and she says f*** a lot.
Right.
That's it.
Sounds not entirely unlike my family. Replace Irish woman with Welsh woman, pretty much the same.
Where was the swearing Welsh woman in my family?
No, I mean my family.
Oh. Of course, my family, sadly absent from the Christmas schedules this year.
I think me and you have a very different definition of the word sadly. When all you can say about a show is, it's not been worth watching since Chris Marshall left. You know it was never that great to begin with.
There's also that Agatha Christie's Poirot, The Clocks.
It's got that guy who's always in stuff with Judi Dench.
And he was in Doctor Who dressed exactly like that.
What's his name?
Jeffrey Palmer.
Jeffrey Palmer, that's right.
In Doctor Who, a couple of years ago for the Christmas special, he played a captain who was like the captain of the ship going down.
And before that, he played in the James Bond film Tomorrow Never Dies. He played kind of the head of the Navy or some kind of secret services in that kind of uniform too.
Yeah, so do you think he's just getting hired for these roles because he has a Navy uniform now?
Probably, yeah. Bring my own costume! Though BBC budget cuts, that probably is quite a big draw for them. Then at 7 o'clock on ITV1, we've got the unforgettable Ernie Wise.
Who? We've not given the impression that there's very much going on the Christmas schedules here, but really, just turn the digital channels on, because whatever you're into, there's bound to be something on one of them that you'll enjoy. For me, it will be Challenge TV, where they're showing four back-to-back editions of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on Boxing Day.
Really?
No.
But, you know, Challenge TV is the only place you can get blockbusters. You know, I love blockbusters, you love blockbusters.
I really love blockbusters. I actually watched Blockbusters a little while back, and I was feeling quite lonely again. And so I decided what would be great is to look up the attractive nerdy girls on the thing and see if they were on Facebook.
Why would you say this on a publicly available podcast?
Because only 27 people listen, so it just...
And they know you're a free creepy loser.
Exactly.
So, what's the highlight of your Christmas schedule, Wimpy? One show that you won't miss. Not Doctor Who, that doesn't count, because I know that
one. One show.
Not the one show.
Okay.
One
That's
show.
That's my joke gone. My Mother Diana on More4, documentary exploring how Prince William's upbringing was affected by the highly public divorce of his parents, Prince Charles and Diana, Princess of Wales.
And I'm going to be watching The Most Annoying People 2011. Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm podcasting with one.
I'm hoping I beat Ricky Gervais this year, but it seems unlikely. So in short, Radio Times, stuff on telly.
Christmas!
Christmas!
Oh, Zordon, I just can't seem to get into the Christmas spirit.
Cheer up, Alpha. It's Christmas Eve. Although it does seem strangely quiet without the Power Rangers.
But where are they, Zordon?
They have a very important mission this Christmas. They are helping Santa get all the presents ready for the children.
That is a big job.
Ow! So, that's Christmas done for another year. Did you enjoy it?
You know, I didn't think I would, but I was won over by your boyish enthusiasm.
And I was won over by the fact that recording the podcast has to be more enjoyable than what awaits me, playing Doctor Who Return to Earth.
You have no idea. You really have no idea how bad that is.
We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with our New Year special, where we're hoping to be joined by a special guest. So join us for that and not a lot more on December the 30th, which will give you a chance to listen to it before New Year's Eve, because we suspect that unlike us, you'll have better things to do with your time on that night.
Hey, if you can think of a better way to spend your time than sitting alone in a room playing Mario, then I don't want to know what it is.
Sitting in a room playing Mario with a bowler hat on?
Wacky, whimsical Christmas fun.
But in the meantime, there's just enough time to pull our Christmas crackers. Dunk.
I'm going to get the short end. I always get the short end of Christmas crackers. Well done, Pete. You got the long end, as predicted.
I did. And I've got a joke here, obviously.
That's your life, Pete. That's your life.
My joke says, why does William Shatner keep releasing terrible albums?
I don't know.
Because he can't. Can't? Rough can't?
You know what that is?
What?
Funnier than anything in Star Trek V.
And with my joke, I've got a CD containing William Shatner's spoken word version of Cliff Richard's The Millennium Prayer.
The mind boggles.
It's just the Lord's Prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, well, except William Shatner's replaced every mention of God with me. Okay. Second cracker.
Might want to try a bit harder. Oh, looks like you got the long end this time.
How utterly convenient. Okay, let's have a look at this joke. Why did Tails the Fox not give Sonic the Hedgehog a Christmas card?
Because Sonic keeps running off without him and ruining all the games.
He just thought he'd give him a ring.
Oh dear, what did you get with that?
I got a CD of the official soundtrack to Cold Feet. I thought I threw this away during one of the podcast breaks. How did you get it in a cracker? Well, Merry Christmas, Pete.
Merry Christmas, Dunk. And Merry Christmas to all of you at home.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho indeed. Goodbye.
Bye.
And so we come to the end of another pointless episode in the lives of our socially awkward duo. But remember, wherever they speak of geeks, wherever they've heard of nerds, you'll find... The Dork Convention!